This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello, crushers and crushies. Will that catch on? Possibly not. Hello, it's Crushed Day, which means that you get a new episode this week. Is Juliet Cowan, who is a phenomenal actress. She's one of those people that you, even if you don't know the name, you will absolutely know her face. She's been in everything, Pulling and Phone Shop, to new things like The Power on Netflix. And excitingly, she's going to be Amy Winehouse's mum in the forthcoming film about her, which is very exciting. I've always been very jealous of everything she does. And in fact, I worked with someone recently who'd also worked with Juliet, and she said to me, "Oh, yes, you do have very similar casting. But with Juliet, you always get the impression that she might murder you." I told her when we were doing this recording, as I was saying it, I thought, is this an all right thing to say? Is this insulting? But she just put her head on one side and said, yeah, you need to cultivate that. And she's absolutely right. So if you see me in the future, do tell me if I look like I might be able to murder you. That's what I'm aiming for. So anyway, I have known Juliet for years and I knew she'd be great on this. She fits the Crushed criteria, which is honest and a bit mad. And I think she very much comes through on both of those fronts. I love her and I'm very excited about you hearing this episode. Before we begin, I'll say it again at the end, but please do put in your diaries the 15th of September. I'm doing The Big Room, which I'm very excited about. My producer said, if you were a man, Margaret, you'd do The Big Room. They don't really sound like that, but they're right. And I took their advice. So please, please prove us right and come and fill the place with love and laughter. It's going to be great, as is this episode coming now. Hello and welcome to Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith, a podcast about the high drama and low blows of unrequited love. My guest today is mega-talented actress and writer, Juliet Cowan. Hi, Juliet. Should I call you Juliet?
Or yes. Why, what were you thinking of calling me?
Julesy Jules?
Julesy Jules. No actual humans call me that.
Okay.
Unless they're taking the piss out of my... Yeah.
All right, let's not do that then. So, Juliet, you strike me as... How can I put this? a very passionate person...
Is
that right?
I'd say I was quite passionate.
Yeah. So has that always been the case?
I think so. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about when I was younger and I'd always had like mad crushes on people in quite sort of female incel style. Do you know what I mean?
You don't hear enough about female incel.
Listen, it's an
uncharted territory.
But I'm here
exciting.
To change.
Okay, so when did you first consider yourself an incel?
I never did until this morning. I was thinking, what was your style of crush?
Oh.
And it was quite incel-y in that, like, often if the crushes knew that I had them, they would actually fancy, I have two sisters, so there's like a big choice. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, God. And were you always together? What's the age difference?
Two years either way, and I'm the middle. Haven't you got two sisters?
Yeah, I'm the middle of two sisters, too. I mean, I know, I instantly know you 1,000% better.
Exactly.
That's
it.
Understand everything.
You can't be the middle of two sisters without understanding savagery, really.
Savagery is the number one word. Yeah, absolute savagery.
So I had an older sister who was... in my humble opinion, not as pretty as me.
Sure.
I hope she's listening. But
savagery.
Savagery.
Already.
But much more attractive to boys. She liked boys. She got them.
That's
they got
start.
Her. They loved her. Yeah. And then I had a younger sister who was much prettier than me and also very attractive to boys, but in a different sort of quite savage way. Savage is my word of the week, obviously. It is. And then there was me, who had these mad kind of André Gide style passions for people, but I couldn't really speak to them. So what would I do?
Yeah, what would you do? Like hovering near them, sort of sweating and shaking.
I don't know if I'd even hover.
You wouldn't even be near them.
Well, I probably would be near them, like looking at them and hating my sisters for getting on better with them.
It was
a bit like that. And then I had this one French boy that I met on holiday who I'd hardly spoken to.
How old were you?
12.
Oh.
So I was madly in love with him, madly. In fact, when he left, the day he left, a woman came up to my sister and said, "Is your mother battering your sister? Because I heard her wailing with screaming and crying in her room after he left."
So, screaming.
I mean, that's this. I'm not joking.
No, I believe you. I can see the look in your eye.
But he
and do you remember? So you remember that reported thing? Do you remember, actually doing that?
Like, I remember doing it. I remember how the bed felt. I remember him going off on the bus. I remember going up sobbing to the little, because it was like a sort of weird grass hut we were living in.
Are you sure this wasn't a dream?
No, it was the reality of my tragic life. And then we became pen pals. He was called Franck, and he wrote me letters, but very sort of Victorian style. How are you? I have been given a stylophone for Christmas, that kind of thing. And then one day he wrote me a letter that was quite passionate and had three kisses at the end. Bisou, kisses.
Oh, my God.
But it was to someone called Helen.
Oh, my God. So he sent you the wrong letter?
So I wrote him a fucking furious letter saying... I know.
This is amazing.
I said,
at what point did you see Dear Helen?
Dear Helen was the first thing I saw. And I thought,
why is this my new name?
Why the fuck has he called me Helen? And then I wrote him back a very furious letter saying, who is this Helen? Why have you sent her three kisses? What is going on? This is ridiculous. And he wrote me back a letter saying, Helen is my cousin, which I think is probably my first experience of gaslighting.
Oh,
I'm
my
pretty
God.
Sure Helen was not his cousin.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's so weird. Was he your, like, did he consider you his girlfriend? Were you both?
I don't think so. I mean, no, but that was the thing. I think I literally had married him, you know, I'd married him in white.
You were entirely
I was committed to Franck.
Forever.
Forever.
And do you think if he'd have accepted it, you would still be married?
No. I think that's the weird thing. I think if he'd said, dear Juliette, I like to think of myself in his heart, you are the love of my life, I'm coming to England next week, I probably would have freaked myself.
Yeah.
But from afar, have a French husband that you've never even kissed. Was my
French
dream.
12-year-old husband. I'm assuming he was 12 as well, was he? Or
I think he was 13, so he's a man.
The dream.
Yeah.
But listen, the other thing is, he might have fancied his cousin.
That's what I mean. Do. I think in fact, my friend's dad married his cousin.
First cousin?
Yeah, and you... Wow. I think you're allowed to.
I know, I keep hearing
this rumour from my cousin.
Yeah, I'm never sure. I mean, I think I mentioned before that I think cousins are often a first crush anyway, because they are the first people that you see outside of a... You know, like your actual siblings or whatever, they are kind of a bit exotic.
They are. And they're so fun.
When your parents are getting drunk and it's all a bit.
Exactly.
Drama.
And they tell you all about, like, my cousin has told us about sex and like, everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm now remembering my cousin's force feeding us jelly babies, put mattresses on top of us, which was not a sexual thing.
What? They force-fed you jelly babies?
Yeah.
And then put a mattress on
I seem to remember the mattresses were on top of us. and they were on top of the mattresses and they were feeding us jelly babies.
I think this seems a lot of sitting on mattresses with a child underneath actually did go on in our day before television, before phones.
Before gaming, in all cars. Of that. Yeah. That's what you had, mattresses in lofts. Okay, so he wasn't your boyfriend. He was your husband.
He was my husband, but then...
do you think he knew that you were so crazy about him? Like, when he went away on that bus, could he see you sobbing at a window?
I don't think he could have imagined the amount...
It would have been baffling, wouldn't it, to a 13-year-old boy?
...emotion he had instilled in a girl he'd probably talked to twice, and whose sister he probably preferred. I think.
Yeah, do you remember which one?
Yeah, it was my older sister, Alex. Because she was
She's an older woman. She's like a femme fatale by that
point. She was a femme fatale, but she was also a friend, which I couldn't be because I was too weird and annoyed or over the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so weird, isn't it? That it's actually those feelings stopping you from getting any further into their lives.
Yeah, because you can't be normal.
No, you're just a weird shaking. I saw Mick Lynch this morning. I know this seems like
oh my God, he's my crush.
Well, this is the thing. I don't fancy Mick Lynch, but I saw him and I was honestly, and I was really, I was genuinely trembling. I was so excited to see him.
Well, I would, and I think.
And I would, but you know, part of it was because I was like, oh my God, this is a man I respect and admire so much. But also, I would think I was shaking because I was like, I think I'm going to say something. And I didn't end up saying something
what
for various
you said?
Reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Up the workers? I don't know. I think I was thinking, I'm just going to say I'm a big fan, which is a weird thing to say to a union leader. But I sort of wanted, I wanted to say it. And anyway, I ended up following him for quite a long time. Because we were getting the same tubes. And by the time we got the second tube, I thought, I can't say something now because I look... like a weirdo,
like
so I'm just going to have to sit back and not say, I love you, I think you're amazing.
I wish you had.
I sort of wish I had, but I didn't want to alarm him. Also, he was definitely not meeting people's eye, you know.
Yeah.
He looked furrowed, but like he's busy, Julia. He's got things to think about. I wanted to say to him, what's next?
Bigger than us. I know, what's happening next? What are you going to do next,
what
Mick?
Are we doing next?
Where can I come? Where can I follow you to?
It's that kind of thing
that
means you can't say these things.
No.
But no, I was thinking about... what had happened in my body during that, you know, during all of those thoughts, it did feel like maybe I loved him. And
trembling.
I was thinking, if I was younger, I probably would think, oh my God, is this love? Is this? Oh my God, I think I love this man. And actually, it's just adrenaline and admiration.
And it's, yes, because he's in, yeah, because those feelings come in your body.
Yeah, it was so physical.
Yeah.
So physical.
It is.
And I think you sort of trust your, like as a 12-year-old looking at this boy, you trust that these feelings mean something. If you're shaking and thinking, oh my God, I think I love you, then you absolutely trust that you do love them
of
and
course.
That must mean something.
Oh my God, I absolutely loved him. I totally did. But obviously, it's a terrible way to approach. I mean, if you had gone up to Mick Lynch trembling saying, I love you.
Particularly as a 47-year-old boy.
Exactly. I'm not sure how much time he would have spent with you.
Quite. And I at least made that call quite quickly.
No, but I wish you had actually gone up to him and trembled. There's something... I wish that story had gone that way.
Yeah,
and
I mean...
given you a badge, up the worker's badge.
I know. Yeah, he didn't strike me as a man who had a load of badges.
Well, you
away.
Just
as
never
say,
know.
Busy. You never know.
If Mick is listening to this, carry badges,
please.
Mick, for your fans.
Yes. Toss them out of windows, off the open top bus.
Yes, badges for all. That's his next thing, probably. Badges for all.
Oh, we're full of ideas, Julia.
I love a badge. I know we could do his policy.
So easy.
Come on.
So easy. Okay, so 12-year-old Juliet, that was your first... Was it your first crush?
No,
you
wasn't
had
my first
that.
Crush, but it was. I think the first time
burgeoning sexuality.
I think that started quite early, but I think Franck was
it's so funny. He's called Franck. Like if you wrote that, I'd be like, it's a bit on the nose.
Why have you called him that, Jules? Come on, we all know he's called Xavier or something. No, he's called Franck with a CK at the end.
Lovely,
because you know he's French. But no, then I moved on to like a real crush of a human that I was seeing every day.
Oh, okay.
And that lasted for a very long time.
Go on.
And then I got off with him in the end. So he was called Eli Standing, and he went to my school, and he was so handsome. He looked a bit like a much blonder version of James Norton.
Oh, wow.
Who I think's handsome.
Oh, very. I think we can confirm that he's handsome. Although I saw a brilliant thing the other day saying somebody fancied Tommy Lee Royce, which was his evil character in Happy Valley, but they didn't fancy him. Shut. And they were worried about themselves.
That is really scary. I would be really... Because also, he sort of plays it like a child. So you kind of, you're looking at what's ostensibly a very handsome man. But really, he's five in his face. They're rapido, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's not healthy.
Right, so human. I like the way that you've said, you've sort of implied that Franck was French and therefore not
human. No, it's not the Frenchness, because come on, French people are human too.
Oui, bien sûr.
But it was because he was less of a fantasy, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas Eli was at school every day.
And you were actually hanging out with him?
No. I mean, he knew me. He might have kicked me a few times. But what I used to do was, I knew where he lived, because that is my MO, mm-hmm. and I used to get on a bus, and my local bus was a circle bus, so it didn't have a stop and change the driver, it went round, it was only a small thing, so I used to get on the bus that went right past his house, stay on the bus, and go, like, if I was felt a bit lonely or sad, that was my... If that isn't incel behaviour...
But it seems so sweet. It's not, isn't incel behaviour more threatening than that? More
well, predatory? If someone got on around the circle bus...
Just because they're feeling sad and lonely. I mean, listen, if they're not getting off the bus...
To stab you.
Right, if they're just waiting. Yeah, they're not going to stab
No,
you.
I wasn't going to do
really
any
weren't.
Harm,
no.
No.
No, you were just... And it went past his house.
His house. So I just wanted to catch a glimpse or even see his door. Do you know what I mean? Because his door felt like him.
Oh, my God. I mean, these are the days before phones.
Television.
So you wouldn't have... no entertainment. No, before you... Because I'm imagining now you could film that. You could film your journey and watch it later and imagine that you were passing his house.
I don't think I was even that creepy then. I got to say.
Okay.
Even now,
yeah,
if I was...
The limit.
Like, yeah. Mm. I wouldn't do filming. In fact, I'm very embarrassed to do any filming.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I nearly took a picture of Mick Lynch. I managed to stop myself because it's not the done thing.
No.
You can't,
however much you love him and
I
want it
to
later.
I should have just asked for a selfie, shouldn't I? I mean, imagine the disdain.
No, I bet he gets asked for selfies all the time. He's a star. He's the hope of this country.
I really love
and
how
very sexy,
yeah.
In a non-sexy way.
Okay, so you're going on the circle bus, but not being... You see, you're already saying you're not being that creepy. You're not being predatory. You just want a glimpse of him. Do you remember ever getting a glimpse?
Oh, God. Oh, of him coming out of his house? No. Those weren't very fruitful, but they felt, you know, like I was doing something towards our relationship.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's weird, like, exercise, isn't it? It's like you have to run to get your fitness levels.
Yes, your fitness levels of your love up. Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so weird. It's like a, like homework.
Yes.
You're sort of going, well, I've done all of this, so now I deserve his love.
Yeah.
Whereas actually you're making yourself less attractive.
Because you know he
because
likes...
Because if he knew for a second that that's what you were doing, he would be put off.
No,
you.
he would
However,
be put off. I don't think he was particularly put on, but he did. I did get off with him in the end.
And,
but I think
I was
shaking.
I can see your eyes now. And was he aware, when he got off with you, did he have any idea the hours you'd put in?
Oh, I hope not, but probably.
He knew, I'm sure he knew you liked him. But I honestly think that there's a level, he's like, oh, she likes me, great. And then digging into the diary would be the thing that said, I think I should stay away from this.
No, I don't think he had any sense of danger. That's what I loved about him. He didn't care. He was quite reckless. He seemed quite a reckless person.
Yeah.
And was, like, disturbingly beautiful in my eyes. But actually, I think in loads of other people.
Yeah, did you talk to your friends about liking him?
I think they weren't allowed to find him attractive because he was mine.
I really relate to that, yeah.
And they honoured that.
And if you're proving it by going on a bus...
Yes,
his house
no one
all the time. No one's competing. Yeah. Who's competing with that?
No one else had the known the brownie points that I did towards our love. but yeah, I can't remember how I got him over to my house because I didn't know him. He was at my school, and yeah. We were like, you know, in the same year.
Which of your sisters did he?
Okay. So my younger sister, who is more his type, probably. I know. He came over and I felt
How old
like,
were you at this point?
I think I was, so another thing I have to tell you quickly mm-hmm. is literally I did everything first.
Oh, very you were that late. Girl. Oh, no, I see. Late.
No. Literally.
I see, you did all of your firsts very late.
Very late.
I thought you meant I did everything first.
No, sadly, I didn't do anything first. I did everything last. I mean, yeah. I think me and Anne Widdecombe, we're probably...
clinging to the old...
Our mean average hymen. Is, yeah, quite high.
Okay. But you got him round to your house.
So I must have been over 16.
Yeah.
Because okay. I think 16 was my first proper kiss.
And was it with him?
It was with someone else.
Go on, was that probably, someone you had a crush on? Or was it
no,
just
it was someone that I literally, yeah. I went to a party and I was like, this is a joke. Come on. It's dark. You've got to be able to get off with somebody. So I just, yeah, it was literally
picked
like.
Someone.
Yeah, I picked someone. He was quite nice looking. And it was over quite quick, and I'd done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that has to be done.
It's got to be done, otherwise you're just going to be literally stuck in a Bronte novel for the rest of your life.
Yeah, with the two sisters.
Doing already, it. Already. I mean, because they were big, doing they were it, man magnets, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough. But so the boy, so Eli, when he came to your house...
Yeah.
Was it, do you think he was thinking about, I mean, I don't want to be bringing back any terrible memories, but was he thinking, oh, get to see the little sister?
Oh, no, I don't think he had his eye on her then. I think he just sort of, I mean, I don't know, he might have been in love with her. In my opinion, he acquiesced to her, and it wasn't the same night. I wasn't even there. And
so he did snog her?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, so after you...
Yeah, after our relationship collapsed.
Okay, tell us about the relationship.
So it wasn't a relationship, but don't come
to
my
No, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, it was in heavy quote marks as I was saying it.
I think it was one of those ones, you know, when a boy comes around to your house and you have to feed them to keep them there?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Wicked Witch in Hansel and Gretel. So I had to find him a sandwich. Well, he waited upstairs and I shakily made him a sandwich because I was so excited. And he had big boots. I remember he had these big boots, which, you know, and then we went upstairs and then we got off with each other. So there was also always that awful, weird dance of when are we going to do it? Because it's got to happen now.
Yeah. And you know it's in the air and that it's sort of the only thing in the air. And then once that's done...
Then you can all go home.
Yeah. Well, it's either the sandwich before or after, and then it's
sandwich definitely before. No, I felt like I had to anchor him with a sandwich. grounding him with a sandwich for the fireworks to come, I think.
Had you been starving him previously?
I hadn't been in control of his eating at all.
Okay, all right. Good
sadly.
To know. Good to know.
Yeah.
Was this an after-school thing?
Probably.
Do you remember how you got him to your house?
No. I think he just came over. Because that's... Boys used to do that. Boys used to just come... Even boys that you didn't think you knew where you lived sometimes would just come to your house.
Yeah.
On the off chance that you might get off with them or they might have a sandwich.
So my memory of the boys who did that was that they would come round and I would just be sitting... They'd be sitting there sort of wanting me to entertain them.
Yes.
And saying nothing. At all. Nothing.
No.
And I'd just be like, I don't... And I honestly, looking back on it, they possibly did like me.
Yes. And did you entertain them or did you go, why would I do that?
I did entertain them, I'm
afraid. Oh, good. Sorry, I was going to be that person too. I would like be, if a boy, I would try my best.
Yes.
I wouldn't be one of those like, I don't know what you're
doing
here because
out.
I'm not your entertainer. Yeah.
Yeah, which maybe we should have been.
I know,
that's
I like
what
to I'm
think.
Thinking. When I thought for a moment that you were that, girl,
oh, yeah,
I was a bit jealous.
No, I wish I was that girl.
Yeah, me too.
No, I was totally like doing little dances for
God.
Them. And
all I wanted.
God, do you want to have a look at my Hugh Laurie scrapbook?
Oh my. Did you actually make that offer?
No, but I can't think what I did have to offer, but it probably was, yeah, videos from of Top of the Pops.
Sandwiches?
Maybe? I mean, I remember making a particularly bad sandwich that was... And this was actually a friend of mine who said...
Was it, though?
No, he really was, but he was appalled by this sandwich. He was like, there's so much bread and so much cheese. And I was like, yeah, it's a doorstep sandwich.
Doorstep.
And he said,
because that was
not
a thing.
Yeah, a thing. But actually, he's right, I couldn't cut bread and I couldn't cut cheese. So
no, but I mean...
way too much of
is
it.
Is that your job?
No.
Yes.
No, well,
when
yes.
a boy comes round, make me a good sandwich. It's not even like, come on, I thought you were hungry.
He was playing my little sister's Sega Mega Drive at the time.
Was he?
Yeah. That's all very sad. But no, so the boys who came round, who I definitely didn't like, these ones that I remember, who possibly did like me, but do you know what? I think I was thinking, no, if they did like me, surely they would be making more of an effort than this, than sitting in their coat silently, watching me as I'm popping round my room and getting postcards out and... You know, playing
that's,
them songs
yeah, I
or
think you've learnt a bit since then, haven't you? Which is that they probably did.
I think so.
I think that also the boys that come round to your house, even if you haven't been madly in love with them in the way that, you know, I remember thinking, well, they like me. Do you know what I mean? So maybe I could if I forced myself.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think if I'd known and they'd really made any... amount of effort. So one of these boys called Richard Power, he won't be listening to this.
How do you know?
I have my sources. He drew a cartoon of me in our end of sixth form in my leavers book. He drew, and he was really quite a talented artist. He drew a cartoon of me in my dungarees with a holding a sign that said "Rights for Dykes." Right.
Okay.
And that was it. And apparently from that, I'm supposed to work out that he liked me. I mean, and this is like now thinking back and like hearing other people saying, yeah, of course he liked you. But I was like, OK, but what was I supposed to take? You know, how was I supposed to know? Like he came round once and sat on his ass.
Oh, he came round.
He was one of the ones that came round.
OK.
And then whatever, a year later, he drew that unflattering cartoon of me.
But where's that come from?
I know.
Maybe it was a question. It was a like, are you straight? And if you're straight, do you love me? But again, quite incel-y, I've got to say.
I mean, yeah, there's other things. I shouldn't go too much into what happened to him then. But I'm very pleased that I didn't force myself to fancy him.
Yeah. Because that was the thing, forcing yourself to fancy someone.
Yeah, yeah. And people did.
Yeah, we all did, I think.
Well, yeah, I suppose that thing of just... Oh, this has to work.
This story.
Let's make a story out of this. He liked me, therefore I'm going to make myself.
Yep. Like also, him. He must see something the others don't.
Yeah, and that is an exciting.
Yep. He must be special.
Yeah. So what happened with Eli?
So, I mean, literally, I think I kept him in my cage of love for as long as I possibly could. But I knew he had to run free, but I did love him.
So did you go out with him?
I wouldn't call it going out. Mm-hmm. But
what would he have called it if he was on this podcast?
No, he wouldn't have called it going out. In fact, I wonder if he
even
remembers me.
Would he use the phrase cage of love?
He probably would have used this phrase cage of love. I think, although, you know, he fluttered around in it a bit. And then went on to my sister's cage of love. And then I don't know.
This is an advertisement for BetterHelp Therapy Online. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? I won't lie, I'm thinking nap. Or if I'm already getting a nap, a longer nap. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but do you ever think about what you would do with it if you did have unlimited time? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to work out what's important and then prioritize it. Therapy can help you pin down what matters to you so you can do more of it. The therapy that I've done has been massively helpful with untangling my thoughts in order to make sense of them, so they're not just a clump of anxious screams sitting in my stomach.
Therapy isn't about changing who you are as a person, but helping you to find coping strategies for the horrors our lives and our brains throw at us. And the healthier we are mentally, the better we feel physically. If therapy sounds like something you could use, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, so it's convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, so no travel time necessary. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist and switch therapists anytime for an additional charge. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/crush. That's betterhelp.com/crush.
But then how did you work out? Like, what was it all right with your sister when she...
No, I mean, imagine if your sister got...
Oh, no,
someone.
I mean, I wouldn't be talking to her now.
Yeah, no, I'm over it now. But
did she know you liked him?
Yeah, we were very competitive.
Right, okay.
And she seemed to think that the fact that she was very attractive to boys and I wasn't necessarily first on, it seemed, anyone's list, didn't mean that she couldn't get off with the boys that I liked. I mean, if she hears it, she'll probably be very upset.
Yeah.
She'd say, shut up, he liked me all along or something, or I did nothing, or, you know. No, and maybe she didn't. But it's one of those things where you're like, you know.
You knew.
I knew. She's sort of open about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure she was at the time.
She knew. Like, she knew you liked him.
Yeah.
And it was over with him.
Yeah.
So she's probably thinking, well, this is fair game.
Yeah. Right? I think she, and also she thought, well, he doesn't... He
doesn't like her. Yeah. No. And in a way, she's right.
Yeah, she's fairly. She was right.
But as a sister myself, but even as a friend, I think that there's certain boys that I would not be happy with friends of mine going with.
No.
Now, because they were mine. Even if they were never even mine and I never even kissed them.
Oh.
Like, there's a sort of like, oh no, but I bagsied him.
Yes, I
and
know.
And I talked to you loads about it. So what
and you
are you
supported
doing?
That love.
Steaming. You supported it.
You supported my love, and it was our thing in our friendship, and now you've what? So you've just abandoned everything we hold dear to get off with what? Someone who matters not at all.
Yeah.
I had this weird thing happen with my best friend, actually, where she, I had a little fling. She, her first boyfriend, and she did everything right, and they were like twins. They were so, like, beautiful, and they'd go camping together and do everything together, and they were brilliant. And then one day she broke up with him because she said there wasn't enough gossip. But
oh, my God. Amazing.
Because that happened, didn't it? Someone was like, this is a boring life. I know what I'll do. I'll chuck my boyfriend who I quite like, who loves me. It was.
But how old?
I think they'd got, maybe they were like 17 when they broke up or...
Yeah. I mean, I do sort of understand, you probably want a bit more drama than that. Like the idea of settling down with someone at 17.
Because they could have, I think.
Yeah. It's a big old
it's
decision.
A big,
it like
is a
now,
big...
if I was dating, I'd be like, please, no gossip.
Oh, would
please.
You?
Yeah.
It's no drama.
Are you still interested in...
No.
Drama.
No, I just was, I don't know. No, I'm not interested in drama. Drama's really, once you've had loads of drama, you're like, actually, no drama.
Yeah.
Flowers are fun.
Yeah.
To watch them grow. And Anyway, so she said, she was finished with him, and it was a couple of years later.
I can see the guilty look on her face.
And I started having a fling with him. I know.
A fling? I mean, she wants the gossip. She's getting some gossip.
She did want the gossip. But then I said to her, would you mind if any of your friends went out with Adam?
And were you already seeing him by that point when you said
I think we're on the cusp.
Yeah.
I'm hoping maybe we were already a little bit into it. But would you mind? And she said, oh, God, fuck off. No, not at all. I wouldn't mind at all. And then she went, well, is it perhaps you?
Oh, my God. And could she see, I mean, the look that you're giving me now, if you'd done that face to her, she would have known.
I think...
Do you think you covered it slightly better?
I think I didn't look guilty because I was like, okay, I'm going to finish it right now.
Oh, bless
you. But I didn't.
Oh, no. It's so hard, though. If you're in the beginning of something, it's so exciting.
It's like an addiction, that, really.
Yeah, even if you're really tired. And maybe especially if you're told this is not on, you shouldn't be doing this. It makes it a little bit more thrilling.
It's one of the worst things. One of the worst things I've done in my whole life, though.
And did you tell her?
No, she died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not because of it.
No, she died not long ago, actually. I didn't tell her.
Are you pleased you didn't tell her?
No, I think...
Really?
No, the older I get, that's another thing. I think the older I get, the more I think you should tell people things that involve them, because otherwise you're controlling their narrative.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah. But then if she didn't know... I mean, is there a bit of what you don't know doesn't hurt you?
There is, but there was another thing that happened where I didn't tell her something else for what I thought was her own good, and it didn't end very well.
Mm.
And that taught me that lesson of just saying, I think, obviously, you know, somebody ringing you up saying, I've got something to tell you, is not a good feeling.
Yeah.
But it does set off a chain of events that probably ultimately will be
better
for you.
Yeah. So you, what happened with him?
It was a summary thing.
And it
was cute.
Out.
It was fine. Yeah.
So in a way, it would have been creating more drama for her if you had, you know, made a big deal of it and said.
It would have been. I think I still probably should. I think maybe one of the reasons I didn't tell her was I don't think he was that keen for her to know.
Right.
Either. I'm blaming him, but it wasn't his fault. He never said don't tell Paul. Or maybe he did say don't tell her. But anyway, she didn't know. But it was one of those weird secrets that you keep, like being a female incel at 8.
All right, so being a female incel at 8, I do want to go back to that, like,
yeah.
Pre-fronk.
Yes, pre-fronk.
And what the crushes were like.
Oh, intense and enormous. So I had a crush on a boy called Jamie Adams. They were all quite far away. There was a boy at my school called Paul Duncan that I had a crush on, who actually, interestingly, also contacted my sister on Facebook saying, are you Juliet Cowan? I don't know why he thought that... She was Juliet Cowan when her name is not Juliet Cowan.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'm not, but should we go for a drink?
Which sister is this? Older or younger? This is the little one.
They went for a drink.
She's a minx.
She is a bit of a minx. They went for a drink. And I was like, but that is Paul Duncan. I loved Paul Duncan. She was like, oh, you were 6.
He was mine.
He was mine. And he will be forever mine.
Yeah.
And then,
so you were 6.
So I was 6.
And what was it about Paul Duncan?
Oh, he was just so beautiful. And I think all the girls loved him. And he had blue eyes and dark brown hair, which was really, for some weird reason, an exotic thing in my school. And then I had another crush on this boy called Tom Audley, who one year the teacher said to me, you can't be in the play because I've heard you're not very good.
Juliet.
I know, imagine that. Imagine.
Juliet, and you've been fighting against that.
No, do you know what it was? It was a red rag to a ball. I worked my way up from General Munchkin to Dorothy.
Even in that production?
In that production. I said, okay, I'll bide my time. Anyone want to be head Munchkin? I was like, yeah, I'll say the line. I said, it's so good. And then I'm afraid to say, this is quite shady, but the Good Witch of the North was weak.
Sorry, and you're 6 at this point. Oh dear.
I'm this week, 7. She's just not cutting it. How about, look, listen to this. Hello, Dorothy, I love you. See, I did her line. I showed the teacher. She was like, wow, yes, wowzers. Then the Wicked Witch of the West. I think
was
maybe there was.
Bullied to the point that she left
literally
the school.
Locked in a toilet during all rehearsals. And for some weird reason, there was no Dorothy. So I said.
What kind of production is this? I mean, are there like 3 of you in this school?
It was a normal primary school.
Yeah,
I don't know how. I think it was the university. So I said.
We decided to put on production without Dorothy.
No, nobody didn't. So I said, I think it's a no-brainer, guys. So I was Dorothy. And I had ballet shoes that were covered in red metallic Christmas paper.
Yeah, lovely.
And for some weird reason, they let me choose my own lion. And I chose Tom Wardley.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What kind of operation was this? Where you, I mean, you clearly had all of the power.
In our relationship.
Like, no, I'm talking about in this school.
Oh, no, I had production. No power. But I just had tenacity.
You became the lead.
Yeah.
And then started doing the casting as well.
Yeah, I chose my own lion. But it never went on to the next. No teacher ever said, oh, I hear you were brilliant as Dorothy, which I'm sorry.
I'm sure you were.
I was.
Yeah. Well, they sound like they were all terrified of you, to be fair.
I don't know if they were terrified. I think it was a stealth attack.
Yeah.
I just kept ploughing on.
I mean, it's
on.
A very All About Eve story or, A Star Is Born.
Yeah. Yes. But with seven-year-olds
and
Christmas paper on the shoes.
She's weak.
She's weak.
Listen to me. She's weak.
She was weak. I can't even remember who she was.
Poor thing.
Poor thing.
She's probably Jodie Comer.
She's probably coming next on your podcast to talk about how her life is ruined by somebody. She's not Jodie Comer. But believe it or not, Jodie Comer is a couple of years younger than me.
What?
Oh my God. Tough, but you know.
Okay, so you chose your lion. Did anything happen? But presumably not at six.
Not at
but
seven.
Do you remember
what?
How you felt about him?
Oh my God, I loved him.
A beauty thing.
I absolutely loved him, but he was very popular.
Yeah.
And I cannot be even in line for the popular boys. I mean, I chose him as my lion in the hope.
That must have got you up the ladder.
Not really. I think it was like, of course you would choose me as my lion because I'm the most popular boy in the year, apart from Paul Duncan. I don't know why I didn't choose Paul Duncan.
Yeah, why? What was poor old...
I think Tom had more leonine qualities. I got to say.
Big hair.
It was, yeah. Yeah, he had big hair.
There you go. Yeah.
Paul
you
was
were
all
really
wrong.
Basic. I'm not. I really know that thing of going for the popular boys, but also knowing I don't stand a chance. Yeah. You have to sort of learn with that.
Your place.
Don't you? Your place. No, it is. It's sort of brutal.
It is sadly
isn't it?
That.
Yeah. So you didn't get any further with him?
No, but what I did do, I've just remembered this, is that as a teenager, one of the things I did for boys in my love cage was I would cut their hair really
badly. Oh, my
badly.
God.
Yeah.
Did you do it badly on purpose?
No, not on purpose, but I was quite gung-ho with the scissors. I think I thought, if I ruin you, you might...
Mine.
Yeah.
Samson and Delilah, is that there?
Oh, this is so... I'm coming across as bad.
No, not at all. Passionate, I said.
Passionate. And in an incel-y way. I think I thought that they would, perhaps, other girls might be put off them. But actually, one boy is
hair
I
cut. Oh, that's so good. That is so clever.
It's awful, isn't it?
Wear this hat. Wear this horrible jacket.
Don't.
Be mine.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This is as a teenager.
Yeah, as a teenager, that's what I did. I did it to this one boy called Rohan Kenworthy who was even better looking than Eli Standing. But again, all the girls loved him. And then I did it to Tom Audley. And I think I might have... I don't know if I did get off with Tom Audley after that. But I might have...
Remember that cutting? I remember
my
friends and I cut her boyfriend's hair once, and for some reason we took a side each, and that does not work.
No
but I remember
way.
Us both becoming hysterical as we were doing it, trying to get it to meet at the back, and just our eyes going, "Oh my God, what have we done?"
Oh, and what did he say?
He was quite annoyed, but he was nice about it. It was long enough that it was sort of fixable.
Yeah.
But
I bet you pissed your pants. That's the kind of thing that would make me hysterical.
Yeah, it was worth it. Totally worth it.
Oh my
but did
God.
Put me off
cutting boys' hair.
Yeah, cutting anyone's hair.
I think you probably do nothing but ruin them. But that was half my plan.
I'm intrigued by this ruining plan. Did you like shave your name into the back?
No, but
the
I probably hit? Would have if I hadn't thought somebody would know it was me. Do you know what I mean? I think I probably would have tattooed my name across their head.
Like it's Jesus.
So that no one else could have them. Oh, dear.
And did this... Okay, so, I mean, we don't usually talk about actual boyfriends, but I am quite intrigued. Did you kind of get a boyfriend in that way? Did you have a mad crush on someone? And
no. My first boyfriend, who was very late in life, mm-hmm. I met him at a party, and it was literally like one of those weird films where we just were magnets. Yeah. It was... There was no shaking... No incel behaviour, no chasing on... He did have a girlfriend, which was not good.
Yeah,
I know.
Not ideal.
Not ideal, but he chucked her.
At the party?
No, certainly not. He chucked her eventually once there'd been a few dramas. The dramas we no longer want to have.
Yeah.
He was a very nice first boyfriend, very, like, loving and... Not dull. But he used to say things like, no, Juliet, let's not go to Paris. Let's fritter all our money away on bills. You know, that kind of avoidant. He was very sensible and used to cry about Charlton, not Winnie, he was a Charlton fan. When he used to get very drunk, that's what he used to sob. He used to sob about. He was very kind and...
I was actually, to be fair, I was thinking... this recently about how lucky I was to have my a first boyfriend who was just really nice.
I think
it can... I mean, we're obviously damaged in different ways. Yeah. A variety of...
We don't
things.
Need first boyfriend
yeah.
damage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, just someone who's nice to me. Oh, that's,
yes.
That's good. That's
imagine
really
that that's a possibility. And it's... I think it's the best way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clever and nice are my two favourite qualities in a man.
For sure.
Yeah.
Have you stuck to that, though, as a... Who have you had crushes on since? Do you still get them?
So I was a frog. So I was the type of person who would only hop from relationship. I'm a serial monogamist. Mm-hmm. So I would go out with somebody until sort of way beyond the time that I perhaps...
It was any good.
Yeah. You know that when you start being cruel and they go, look, should we just finish this? And you go, no.
Wait until I've got
one boyfriend. Could you hang on a minute? Because I haven't met anyone else yet. So that was my MO. And So I went from boyfriend one to... Like, and often there'd be a few options mm-hmm. before I went on to the next one. And then I went to husband, and then I went to boyfriend two. So, but boyfriend three, because husband is also a boyfriend.
Yes, it's weird. It? They get promoted, but then they get...
They've got it all. All the stages. Yeah. All the old snake skins.
He's a very lucky man.
Very,
to have all of those.
And ungrateful.
Such an ungrateful man. Yeah, okay.
So, no, my husband was just very sensible, very earthing. Like, if you put your head next to his, the fizziness would go.
Oh, what a lovely...
Do you know that
quality.
Feeling? I
yeah.
think so. Yeah. But I think then the fizziness kind of went permanently through his... And then I ran off with somebody who was very fizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for the first time in my life... I have become single having not hopped on another person, which I consider to be really adult.
Oh, so adult.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How's that going?
Well, so far, it seems fine. I've got, I mean, I don't know. I might get lonely.
And when you get lonely, do you get on a bus and go to boys' house? No. Do you indulge in... Like fantasies.
Well, I'm not lonely yet, but I do have like a couple of maybe next husbands.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Neil Gaiman, I was thinking maybe.
Oh, good choice.
And then Charlie Kaufman, I was thinking maybe. Yeah. So those are my only two. Because I was thinking, let's go.
I really thought you were going to be talking
real
about.
People.
Look, I'm not lonely anymore. I'm sensible, and then you bring up these people. Okay.
What, why are you laughing?
No, I'm not laughing.
I'm sorry,
Julia.
Margaret.
What problem do you
have with me?
Doesn't Neil Gaiman live in the Hebrides or something?
Oh my God, that's even better. I didn't even know that. Shut up, because I was thinking of going to live in the what are they called? They're right. They've got jumpers.
It's like a really
You're not
sensible.
Being very encouraging. If you ever become single, I'm going to come on and laugh at your future dream husbands and consider
it. Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Probably a good idea.
Yes, I will.
No, if I know you, Julia, I mean, God, if I know what you're like with play castings when you're seven, I'm absolutely sure you'll be
Listen,
living with Neil Gaiman.
I will invite you over to mine, Neil and Charlie's house that we all share together.
Oh, you're now throuplet. I mean, well, it's fantasy.
Because I'd feel mean if Charlie wanted me and I couldn't choose.
No, but don't you need a backup for if things with Neil go, you know, you need your next...
Not yet. No, okay. I'm not normally that early. I don't normally start a relationship thinking, who the fuck am I going to leave them for? No, that's not. I'm not a planner. I'm not a strategic person. I'm a impulsive jumper.
Sure.
So, wherever Neil lives. And I think Charlie probably is in America. So
yeah? Even further away.
We could just write each other letters.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yeah. Like Frank.
No, not like Frank, because what if Charlie's got a cousin he likes more than me? That would be bad. What if he wrote me an email saying, "Dear Bridget, I've loved you."
Do you ever think that that was a weird bit of game playing to send you that, Helen? Like, he wanted to get caught. He wanted a bit of drama.
I don't think this is the sad truth. Mm-hmm. I don't think I loomed so large in Frank Charles, he was called, if you're listening, Frank.
Get in touch
and tell me that you've never got over me, but...
Oh, please do that. Please.
Imagine.
I think it's only polite.
Have you had any people getting in touch and saying, actually, I loved
always
you?
Loved. No. No. No, but it's all I want.
It's my dream. I get that kind of envy that people I didn't even really like much at school get in touch with other people that were in our class instead of me. I'm like, you didn't like them.
Outrageous. It's rude.
It's really... Why would you choose... Why is your memory of them more loving than your memory of me, even though I didn't like you that much?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it's... being rejected by someone you didn't like in the first place.
Not good.
Absolutely appalling.
Yeah.
No, awful. Okay, so I think we've established you do still have... crushes.
It's not, I wouldn't call them crushes.
Oh, sure, because they're just
because
reality.
Actually I have no feelings for them at all.
For Neil and Charlie?
Neil and Charlie. No emotional feelings apart from admiring their work.
Okay, so why have you decided?
Because I feel like they're sensible choices.
Juliet, sensible choices for people you know who are available and local.
No, but I want to be like, I'm not Rick Astley, the other one. And his fan that he married in the end.
Oh, Gary Newman.
That's it.
Well, you need to marry the president of your fan club then. Who's that?
Oh, that was such a low blow.
No, I don't know. I entirely believe that you've
you
got a fan
club.
You
know very well, Margaret, that my fan club
I'm
has
the president
not yet.
Of your fan
I don't want you, because if I have to marry you or run off with you, that's. You. I'm sorry, Margaret, but you're just not my type.
Rejecting me.
No, you're beautiful and amazing.
Come on.
Well, it's just I'm not in that space.
We just talked about how rude it was to reject someone. And here
I don't feel like I'm really rejecting you. I don't think that you made a real play for me. And if you had, I would have considered you. If you'd come round to my house in your boots and your coat and asked me to make you a sandwich, I might think, I don't know, maybe me and Margaret
might
work.
Yeah. You know, there's a brilliant Jerry Seinfeld bit of stand-up where he talks about how men... he thinks men are homophobic because they think they could be very easily persuaded. Like,
yes.
A man just sort of comes up and says, you know, like in a shop,
yes.
You try on
Should
some shoes and you're
sex?
Very, yeah, you're very easily persuaded that they're amazing shoes and you
yes.
should buy them. And that if a man just comes and stands next to you and says, what do you think? That they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe.
That's
maybe
an interesting idea.
Yeah, it's just, you just need to be there and
Literally.
Persuasive.
Presence and swayability.
Yeah.
But I quite like both those things in a person.
Yeah, same. Mm. I think it's a I think it's a really good quality. But that's sort of why I'm thinking that Neil Gaiman isn't.
Look,
he's just a bit absent from your life.
That is not
so
that's
far.
Not my worry for a relationship.
Oh,
yeah. I quite like a boyfriend in a box. I do you know what I mean?
What with no limbs?
No, not the age of fucking person. No, I'm not like a fritzily kind of guy, goat woman. No. But like, I quite like, you know, a pen pal.
Oh, yes. Yeah, who can say beautiful things to you.
Yes. And I can say, oh, I've got a boyfriend.
Right, so they're not threatened.
No. But I don't have to put much effort in.
Oh, you don't have to build a... I mean, God, building a life with someone.
Yeah.
Absolutely exhausting.
Yeah.
Much better to do it all in your head.
All in your head alone and then go, we were no help.
When I get off a tube, I always want to say to everyone, you know,
oh, please do that for me. Oh my
Not
God.
Not when Nick Lynch is around.
I don't no, know. Because he is me. Changing He's our very world. Helpful.
Okay, we are going to do the maths now.
Yes.
Think carefully. I mean, the name that is coming to my head is Eli Standing.
Of course.
But I don't know. Are you doing Eli Standing?
He's the one I thought that you would do it on. And it's lucky that I can't remember how to do the maths now, because I probably would have worked it out first. And if it wasn't a very good one, I would have gone for Neil Gaiman.
Oh my God. Eli Standing and Juliette Cowan.
Don't, because that will... I'm scared.
78%.
Oh, is that high?
That's high.
I think I'm just a compatible person.
I think
whoever you want
too.
Me to be, I'll just be for you.
That's why you're such a good actress.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Juliette
Thank
Cowan.
You. It's been so fun.
Well, thank you so much to brilliant Juliette Cowan there. A lot more chat about the union leader, Mick Lynch, than you might expect. But that's the thing, you don't know what's going to come up in these conversations. You don't know what figures overtake our minds and our hearts. Before I go, I'll remind you again, 15th of September, London Podcast Festival. If you're around, we'd love to see you there. I'm locked out of my Twitter still, so anything you can do to spread the word, I would absolutely love it on your social media. Do like, subscribe, give us a 5-star review. I know, the first time I heard someone ask for a 5-star review, I was frankly appalled. But, you know, when it comes down to it, what harm is it going to do? You're giving us 5, even if you do think it's only worth a 3. Thank you so much for listening. I'm on Comfort Blanket, which is Joel Morris's fantastic podcast. I'm talking about Pride, which is a film I love, and it's very apposite because it's Pride Month. So thank you to all of you for listening right till the end. I love you. Goodbye.
Listening to Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith, hosted by Margaret Caborn Smith and produced by Victoria Lloyd and Lindsay Fenner for Mighty Bunny Productions. If you can bear it, please like, subscribe, rate, and give us a nice review, as it helps me feel better about my life choices.